I'm Alan Walker, and in this episode of the People Podcast, my co-host Jeremy Russon chatted with Alison Ettridge of Talent Intuition. They discussed how data and insights are core to any HR team that wants to be perceived as more than just an admin function. Enjoy!
Please take your seats. This evening's performance is about to begin.
So welcome to another edition of the People Podcast from Chat Talents. I think one of the things we hear a lot about in the current world of talent acquisition, particularly and in the data management, is the use of data to make decisions. For many, it's a relatively new thing. It's something they've not had in the past in the old school recruitment world. But for our guest today, it's certainly been a fundamental part of her career. I'm going to introduce Alison in a moment, but Alison Ettridge. Alison, would it be true to say that that's been like a 4 or 5 year career?
Yeah, a little bit longer than that, actually. I wish I could just say 4 to 5 years.
Is that a good summary? I mean, because it's something that's been really fundamental in your work to date, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. Yeah, so particularly the last 10 years working with organisations like Talent Intelligence, Armstrong Craven, Wright Research, you know, completely embedded in the use of data to support HR decisions.
Yeah, brilliant. And so let's start backwards almost. Let's just tell us about where you are now with Smart. I've lost track of the name of the product.
Don't worry, it's fine. It's all right. With Stratagens, it's absolutely fine.
So, Stratagens. I was going to say Smartagens, but I wasn't far off there, was I? Only the one letter or so. But Stratagens, that's right.
Feel that now.
Well, it's probably as relevant, isn't it, in many ways. But tell us a little bit about Stratagens and sort of how that's come about.
Yeah, okay. So I launched Talent Intuition, which is the company that owns Stratagens 3 years ago, because I'd spent 20 years working with HR leaders and giving them data. And actually, what I kept hearing was, if only we'd been involved at the strategic decision-making stage, if only we'd had this data before the decision to do X, Y, Z was made, then we may have looked at it differently. And having spent quite a lot of time in research organisations, I recognised that actually there was a whole bunch of the answers were now available in technology platforms. And so in 2017, I left life as we know it, decided to set up a tech startup, having had no experience whatsoever in technology, and said, right, I am going to build a talent intelligence platform with a difference. And it is one that is fundamentally about helping HR leaders to inform a decision and take the data to a table. So it's kind of strategic talent intelligence and not necessarily tactical. We launched Stratagens at the back end of last year. We've got big global corporates using it to make some great decisions, and current situation, kind of work, workforce, workplace, all in one place, is kind of really bringing everything to the fore. So that's what started it all.
Mm-hmm. So from a practical perspective, and obviously appreciate you can't name names here, but what's a typical use case for Stratagens?
Yeah, okay. So there's three really clearly defined user cases. So one is looking at managing a skills supply chain. One is optimizing your workplaces. And one is tactically improving your diversity and optimizing your diversity mix. Yeah. And so if I think about that in kind of different ways, so if I look first of all at the skills supply chain, I've got this vision in my head of an organization that is so on it in terms of understanding how their roles break down into skills and tasks and where those skills are in the external world and how that relates to what they need to do and whether they're contract or perm or gig. And they're so on it that there's never a need to kind of react to something that's in front of them. If I give a good example of that, you know, working with a global FMCG, private FMCG business, and then wanting to understand, having been through massive business disruption, where digital marketeers were in the external environment, what was likely to turn them on, whether they'd want to come and work for this organization or not, whether or not they should put physical digital hubs in place. You know, so they're really big questions, which are, how do we manage our supply of these skills if this is the route that we're going to take?
And I guess the current situation then with COVID-19, it's something we try to avoid talking about a bit more now, but I think it's relevant in the circumstances. COVID-19 is obviously going to push or potentially push a lot of people out to much more remote working practices. And therefore, the skills base could be more dispersed in many ways. Mm-hmm. Do you think that will be something that Stratagems, for example, or similar sorts of technology will be able to help with?
Yeah, without a doubt. So we've seen more acceleration in interest and conversations in the last 10 weeks than we had in the previous 10 weeks. And I think, you know, when we launched Stratagems, we launched it deliberately because we saw this trend that was actually workforce and workplace emerging in many ways. And people are working in a different way. And then whilst horrible, what COVID-19 has done is it's absolutely accelerated that trend. And so what we thought was going to be a kind of 5 to 10 year trend, in reality, we think is probably 3 to 5 years. And so we've talked to organizations now a lot about, you know, that kind of stage one of their response was, oh, okay, let's regroup. And in fact, we've run a whole campaign around the new ecosystem of work that anybody can go onto our website, talentintuition.com, and have a look at. It gives thought leadership in this area. It gives loads of quotes from HR leaders who aren't clients, but we've been running webinars and breakfast panels and those sorts of things with them to hear what's happened. And HR leaders are saying, yeah, we've achieved in 2 weeks something that would have taken us 3 years because suddenly we were listened to. You know, and that for me is just, you know, that's kind of music to my ears, is suddenly we were listening to and people took us seriously.
And you say this, you mean the C-suites, essentially?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's that wider transformation of you take something into a problem that the C-suite understand, and they sit up and listen. So, you know, I think when we talk about business continuity plans, it's a great phrase. But you know, 5 years ago, business continuity planning was what happens if my office goes on fire? What happens if there's a bomb at Paddington Station? Or what happens if our IT infrastructure falls over? You know, nobody ever said, what happens if we have to completely transform our workforce in a 24-hour period? And so HR leaders being able to go and have conversations with business continuity planning and people in mind has meant that trend has accelerated. So what we're hearing from people now is that they've kind of done the regroup. They're now in rethink. So they are fundamentally saying, how do we rethink the design of our organization moving forward? And then I think we'll be at redeploy. But people are talking about a new normal right now, and I think we're a million miles away from a new normal yet.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk a lot about with people about the fact that this isn't working from home. So this isn't remote working. This is working through a crisis. It's jumping on the end of your kitchen table with your kids running around in the background. It's definitely not the new normal. There is a new normal coming, but.
Yeah, and also we're not pushing for kind of remote working as being what will happen. What we're saying to companies is, look, if you look at a number of your roles, what you should be doing is how do we maximize our access to those skills and that skill supply over a period of time to deliver our strategy? And in each role, if you break that role down into particular tasks, then some of those tasks can be automated. Some of those tasks are best done actually in a physical environment or a collaborative environment. And some of them are best done in a quiet space. And so what we're saying to companies is you really need to think about, you know, which are the roles that are business critical to you and how could you be rethinking what those roles look like. And so it's not a case of giving someone a laptop and sending them home. It's a case of saying, you know, how and where do we interact with this supply of skills to make sure that we've got enough people to deliver our strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And that's around the optimization of those people, really, isn't it? Which is just becoming your second raison d'etre, if you like. The third one, of course, is another big area in diversity. And I think, given the comments by Jerome Turnick from Smart Recruiters on LinkedIn this morning around linked to the goings on in America at the moment. Yeah. It's quite interesting informing the diversity. So tell us a little bit more about how you do that.
Yeah, this for me is kind of a no-brainer. Yeah, I sit in front of HR leaders and they say, oh, well, we've set ourselves a target of X, Y, or Z. But it's kind of at a group level. You know, nobody's ever thinking, are we going to hit it or not hit it? And we've just finished a piece of work with a FTSE 100 financial services organization who were not going to achieve their diversity target. And right now in financial services, that's not great because, you know, it means your CEO is going to miss the bonus, which brings everything up the agenda, right? And so when we kind of dug down under the surface, the talent acquisition team were taking the same approach across every single skill set and every single location. And we just said, hold on a minute, there's a way of being actually more strategic but also more tactical about this. Let's have a look at the external environment. Let's have a look at how that compares to, you know, what's the art of the possible? So if you need to turn a dial against a specific skill set, there's something kind of the art of the possible is. And then let's point your talent acquisition teams at those areas. And then I think there's kind of another piece, a follow-on piece to that I think is really interesting right now. And that's linked to what we've seen in the past 10 weeks is that, you know, a lot of businesses have switched on remote working and discover that life hasn't fallen over. And that opens up a whole scheme of access to talent who would not historically have necessarily been able to travel to a workplace. So Stratagem splits skills pools. It splits them by gender, by ethnicity, by years experience, by location, and by hotspots and notspots. So if you really need to tactically turn the dial, the data's there and it's there in 6 seconds. So I don't have an excuse any longer to not do something properly.
Yeah. And do you think that diversity targets are the way forward? Do you think that's the right approach for companies to actually set those targets?
Look, it's not in my nature to say yes or no to that question, because I think it differs in each organisation. I think if you look at what other countries have done, where there has been a country-driven target, then they genuinely have turned the dial, you know, typically over things like gender. And so, you know, targets have made a difference in some countries. I think there is a worry. There is a worry that if you set a target, you might lower your standards or you might change your standards, let me put it that way. I think if organisations are just cleverer, actually over a whole bunch of decisions that they make and they use people data, there's not a need for a target because the data is there to enable them to achieve whatever is right to achieve their strategy.
And I guess it's all very well getting the right mix of people in through the business, but actually if your culture doesn't support that, then you know, there's something else to do there, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah, and I think everything, almost everything, kind of talent related requires a shift at the moment, and a shift quite quickly. And I think, yeah, organisations starting to look at themselves through the eyes of the talent that they need to deliver their strategy is very different to organisations saying, yeah, where are the people? Yeah, you know, it's just how do we get them? So I think whether that's diverse talent, whether it's difficult to find talent, whatever it might be. Actually, they need to start looking through the eyes of the individual, not necessarily the corporate lens.
Okay, interesting. So coming back to Stratagems then, so you describe it as an insight platform that finds, models, and analyses data about people, skills, play, and places globally. Mm-hmm. So is that, I mean, that essentially sounds like, I might be completely wrong here, but it sounds like almost a data aggregator. Would that be a good way of describing what you do? Or?
Yeah, it's a great way of describing it. So we take a whole bunch of data around workplaces, and then we take a whole bunch of data around workforces. And if I split those down, so the workforces is supply, is demand, is diversity, it's a talent attractiveness, and it understands where those skills are. And yes, we aggregate it. We then do some clever data science wizardry to it to give some of the results that are needed. But effectively, that's what we're doing is that we're aggregating that data. And then the workforce data is everything to do with, you know, physical, digital, virtual hubs, plus the sort of data that your strategy director is probably interested in, which is what's foreign direct investment like? What's the business risk like? What's the continuity like? Yeah, and bringing those two together, so people, workforce, workplace, is unique. And that's what we think. That's where we think the world is converging. That's the trend that we think has been accelerated in recent times.
So as HR people, we can actually take the information that you're providing and talk to the C-suite about not just HR, but also the external world and economics and economic theory and things like this based on the data you're providing and the analysis you're providing, I guess, more importantly.
Yeah, I think there's, and I think that's spot on. There's two pieces that kind of come to mind. One is a quote, and I can't remember who the original quote is, but I'm pretty sure that Toby Colshaw said it, or reiterated it rather than it being his quote. And that was, if all we've got is opinions in the room, then we're going to go with mine. Yeah, and I kind of think that's quite interesting. It's, if you can't take data to the table, you can't back it up with something, then you can't expect to influence the C-suite. And so, you know, absolutely, it's about bringing the data. And then for me, there's this piece that is, you know, talent intelligence is fairly new as a term. But I've spent 10 years in this. And actually, if I kind of look at my legacy, I'd like to be best known for shouting about how you can use talent intelligence to inform strategy, and really think differently in big picture. You know, what's our M&A? What's our location strategy? What's our org design? You know, all of those things, and not necessarily just in inverted commas, thumbs on seats.
Yeah. Okay. So clearly, this is about us in HR, and I turn loosely in HR because I sit outside HR now. But about us in HR delivering that value to the business through business improvement, business value add, if you like. What's if you had to look back over the 3 years with Stratagems and with the time before that, using that data, what would you say is the biggest impact you've seen that data or use that data have on a single business? Again, don't need to name names, just be interesting to hear.
Oh, that's a great question. So I think...
A bit impatient.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up and warning that one was good. So if I think back to kind of previous life, and when I was working in organisations that do very good research, but fundamentally it's qualitative research and it's manual research. I think working with one particular oil and gas business to help them understand where female subsea engineering talent was globally. Yeah, I mean, that's a really big call. That's a hard to find skill. It's a global data set. Yeah. And it's ticking a diversity box and helping that organization to show something different. I think it was really interesting. I look at now and more recent times where we're combining the quantitative and the qualitative more quickly, perhaps, we finished a piece of work in the back end of last year using Stratagems for a defense business. And they've been told by a large strategy stroke management consultancy that the only way that they were going to find senior engineering talent was by putting a regional hub in the northwest of England. Wow. And they'd come to us because they wanted some data. And actually, it was slightly awkward because we did a whole bunch of research and we went back to them and we said, look, the data doesn't support in any way, shape or form you putting a senior engineering hub in the northwest of England. Yeah, and this was across a whole range of engineering skill sets. So it was everything from RF engineers to, you know, microwave engineers to systems engineers.
More traditional engineering rather than the sort of software engineering that we need to see now.
No, not at all. No, so included systems engineers, software engineers, so basically anything that had engineering as a skill set. And so we took all of their existing locations and then mapped all of the skills that they needed against their existing locations. So we forgot where their current management and teams were based. and said, look, if you want to hire microwave engineers, if you do it out of all of your different offices and manage them in a different way rather than having them in a physical space, you will increase your talent pool by 88%.
And
that for me is massive impact. Your defense business needs to be able to prove its procurement supply chain, and can do it without spending hundreds of thousands of pounds on a new regional hub.
And I guess that's using data to help you think outside the box, think a little bit differently to the norm, isn't it? That's which I guess we don't always do that well.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It is thinking outside the box, but actually, it's not that different to people analytics when you're saying let's take some data and prove a hypothesis whether it's true or false. And actually, by proving their hypothesis false, it hasn't necessarily made it the wrong decision. In fact, far from it, saved them hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Now, but I'm just curious here, just because there's going to be a lot of our audience potentially who haven't had the level of exposure to analytics, intelligence, etc., that you have. And you've mentioned a couple of things there that are qualitative and quantitative. Mm. Just give us about 30 seconds just explaining the difference.
Yeah, okay. So for me, anything that is quantitative is data that we can get, we can grab, we can take it from a variety of technology sources, and it's numbers related. And most of that we can get out of stratagems, and therefore we can run a search and have that in 6 to 8 seconds. The qualitative stuff for me is the stuff that's potentially more company and talent specific. So if I think back to that FMCG client where I talked about digital marketeering, what they also wanted to understand was whether or not digital marketeers would be in any way, shape or form interested in working for them on the types of projects that they required. And so that's much more touch related and individual related rather than aggregating data. The two combined are really powerful. So Stratagems is a cracking tool, and organizations that have got really good, well-informed talent intelligence teams in place right now could use Stratagems at the touch of a button. But interestingly, we're working with more and more organizations now in a subscription method where they can pick up the phone, they can ask us any question, we'll use Stratagems, they have to have a license to Stratagems, we'll pull the data out, but then we'll overlay that with the qualitative insight. There's definitely a combination of quant and qual. But I guess it makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about with technology, and I really don't.
You're not the only founder in the world who doesn't, by the way.
Do you know what? I think there's something really interesting about this. You know, when I set out to build Stratagems, yes, there was a whole bunch of naivety, but I have this view that is, it doesn't really matter what can happen. I just assume that technology can make it happen. And I just assume that technology can do something. And I think that brings a different mindset to it because you're completely client focused and not tech focused. So it is, this is the problem, solve it. And I used to talk about, press a button and magic will happen. I've now discovered it's press a button, throw lots of money at it and magic will happen.
So your job title of Chief Believer then is based around the fact that everything, that it will happen at some point, presumably.
Yeah, and it's, some of it is chief believer in Stratagems, mostly this is about being a chief believer in the fact that HR will absolutely be listened to in the C-suite, and that will happen over a really quick period of time because they're taking data and insight and they're sounding really credible. Whether that's seat at the table or not, I think is almost irrelevant. But it's putting people first. The CEOs who put people are our top three priorities in their annual reports for the last 15 years, this is suddenly going, no, they really are. And this is why they are. And this is what we can do about it. So that's where the chief believer bit comes from.
It's good to hear, Alison, because all too often now there's lots of new job titles, the words ninja and things like this coming into job titles without really having any rationale behind it. But I completely get the rationale behind Chief Believer, and it's certainly one that more people should be using going forward. That has been really interesting. A personal note, how have you got on with the last 10 weeks?
I'm very lucky. So we live in a very rural part of the world. So yes, we've been juggling children and childcare. I'm not a very good teacher. But both my husband and I have worked remotely for a long time. We're both used to home working, and we live in a very beautiful part of the world. So yeah, my heart goes out actually to people who had it more difficult in the last 10 weeks than we have. We've never been busier.
Yeah. And from what I understand, solar panels on roofs and things like that. I've done my research, you see.
For those who've been stalking me on Facebook, so there's actually quite a funny story about this. So when I was pregnant, 7 and a half years ago, I told my husband I was going to buy a paddling pool because I was really hot. And then as I was researching paddling pools, I discovered that actually a paddling pool could be a swimming pool, and it wasn't that much in terms of, you know, money. And eventually I bought an above-ground pool, which my husband came back and told me how many litres of water it was going to take to fill. He wasn't that impressed. Anyway, the above-ground pool was freezing, so he has now... Yeah, here's a piece of advice for any girls out there. If you're not going to be an engineer, because you're perfectly capable of being an engineer, but if you're not going to be an engineer, marry one, because they can hook up solar panels, and 27 degrees, the outdoors this morning.
Very nice too. Very nice too. I sincerely hope you very soon get to grab a coffee at the Starbucks up the road from the both of us, and that this all passes over. In the meantime, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really interesting. Keep safe and keep in touch.
Likewise. Take care to you, your family, and to everyone else listening.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Alison. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Head over to chattalent.com for more blogs, vlogs, webinars, and other great content about HR, talent, and recruiting. Everything you could possibly need. Enjoy!